The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. But today's podcast is going to be nothing about wine, but instead it is going to be about some of the highest end whiskey you can get. And joining me, brand specialist, about a guy who also studied spirits and wine, it is John McPherson, who represents all things the McCallum. John, thanks so much for being on this today.
Pleasure to be here. Thank you for having me.
So do I have to always say the McCallum? It's like when I say Google, I don't say the Google, but on the labels, it is the. I just want to make sure I'm doing it the correct way.
You are correct. It is the McCallum. Has been that way since, decades ago when we were advertising in the Times crossword, the McCallum, the malt. It's been that way religiously ever since.
So if it's the way in the crossword, then that is the way that it has to be done.
Exactly.
First off, I was wondering, there's so many different things I want to talk to you about. Actually, before we get into, and you've brought the rare cask, I've got the Time Space Mastery, and we'll talk about that in a moment. What I always love to do on this is just first start with your own journey. How did you get into the job now where you have a super cool attaché case with all these different, the McCallums, all these different brands of it? But I was wondering how you got in.
I often wonder that myself, to be honest. Just a family history starting well back with my aunt and uncle. They're part of members of the Quake Whiskey Club out in Peterborough, and they've got a huge interest there. So it's always been a familial thing. For myself, I was in food and beverage hospitality for a long time early on in my career, but also had an interest on the side. I'd get together with all of my friends and we'd collect all of the bottles of one brand we could, and we would sit together and I would learn as much as I could, and we'd talk whiskey. That time I'm working my way through the hospitality career, bartending, serving, bar management, eventually a food and beverage manager. And I hired a bartender part-time who was also a liquor rep, and he heard me talking about scotch, and he said, you know, we're hiring a scotch ambassador. This was 6 years ago, and I went, is that a real position? Supremely interested, whiskey fan for a very long time. So I applied and ended up being an ambassador for another company regionally in Ontario, focusing on 12 different brands of scotch. And it was lots of fun. And then a little over a year ago, the McCallum reaches out to me. They're looking for a brand specialist here in Toronto. And given that the McCallum, I mean, the name of it, the quality behind it, but also I'm just a fan of sherry cask matured scotch. That is the McCallum through and through, and they agreed to bring me on, and it's been amazing ever since, talking about, well, Scotch whiskey every single day, and especially a brand like the McCallum.
And how did you get into Scotch whiskey? Was there a moment? Because that can be a little bit trickier, because, you know, it's easier to drink beer. It's easier to just do vodka soda. And even wine, I think, is an easier barrier of entry. You can find a simple Pinot Grigio and not think about it. But when it comes to Scotch whiskey, there is more thought. I mean, I guess you can get the really cheap stuff and just throw it in with Coke or whatever. The McCallum's obviously way different than that. But how did you first get into the spirits?
Yeah, I mean, I've got that Scottish ancestry, so I've always found the history, the lore,
right,
and even the romance behind it supremely interesting. But it was my friend Perry and I, actually, in university. We both showed an interest in it and said, hey, why don't we try that? We grabbed one bottle. We went, that's pretty good.
Do you remember? And if you don't, it's okay. Do you remember the bottle?
I think everyone's first bottle is like a Johnny Walker Red, something like that.
Right, yeah.
You know, it's kind of whatever you can afford when you're 20 years old in university. For me, I've always been searching out that quality, and I've had a McCallum in my, one of the McCallum in my, and hands in my display for as long as I can really remember when it comes to scotch.
Can we do a couple quick little, the nuts and bolts behind whiskey? And this is for a lot of people that may not know, and especially for people that are just getting into it. When they think Scotch whiskey and Irish whiskey, just the basic Coles notes, what do people need to know about the difference? Obviously, then the geography of them.
Sure. Yeah, and that's it. I mean, that's a huge part of it, especially when it comes to things like wine, champagne. The terroir is huge.
Yeah.
Champagne must come from France. In this case, Scotch whiskey must come from Scotland. And that's one of the biggest things when it comes to this is all Scotch is whiskey, not all whiskey is Scotch. So America has their own whiskey, bourbon, of course, Canadian whiskey, Irish whiskey, and Scotch whiskey. many other countries, Japan, India, they've all got their own beautiful stuff. When it comes to Scotch whiskey, few different rules. It must be aged in oak for no less than 3 years in order to become Scotch whiskey. Distilled in copper pot stills, no less than 2 stills. In the case of single malt Scotch, you're using only malted barley as your grains. Blended Scotch, there's a little bit more freedom for that. And overall, made, matured, bottled in Scotland. That's really the big part of it. And Scotland, again, there's just something else about it with the Scotch for me personally. The flavor is there for me. The romance is there. It's just got this quality to it that I love.
Well, it's so entwined within the area. The same way, if you grew up in Burgundy, you're going to have romance towards Chardonnay or Pinot Noir. If you are in Chianti, it's going to be the Sangiovese grape. And then for here, it is especially like the single malt and the copper, like that it's so intertwined just within the entire culture, isn't it?
Yeah, and that's it. And especially with the Macallan, again, one of the reasons I was so drawn to it is that there's no compromising on the quality. It's the best oak. When we're seasoning that oak, it's the best sherry wine we can possibly find. Again, every step of the way, the warehousing is meticulous. The actual process of distilling it, we're choosing the finest cut of everything. So it's so important to not compromise anywhere, really, from acorn to glass.
And that's also why that it's not cheap, but it can't be, or else everyone will go out of work. The same way, why is this first growth Bordeaux so expensive? It's kind of about the entire process that goes into the bottle, isn't it?
Exactly. That's it. Again, there's this meticulous warehousing program that even in the maturation process, and in the case of the youngest available Macallan, the 12-year-old, the Macallan Double Cask 12 years old, it's 12 full years of maturation, and that's just a part of it. We're getting 80% of the flavor from that maturation and 100% of the color from that oak that it's maturing in for those 12 years.
Is that the entry level? Is the entry level for the Macallan is still aged for 12 years before it's released?
Correct. The entry level is the Macallan Double Cask, 12 years old, and it's still a beautiful single malt. And think about it, especially one of the rules in Scotland, if there's a number on that bottle, that's the minimum age. So this has spent 12 full years in a warehouse in Scotland, quietly maturing. And that's one of my favorite parts to think of when it comes to Scotch. Where were you 12 years ago? Or right, depending on the whiskey you're drinking, 15, 18. If we get a lot older at the Macallan, it's been resting patiently that whole time, taking on that flavor, taking on that color, taking on those aromas that just, it's such a big part of it.
The sherry cask part, I was wondering if you could explain that to everyone in terms of just what that does for the character.
Yeah. So with the Macallan, there's two essential siblings in our core lineup. There's the double cask range and there's the sherry oak range. So the double cask range, don't let the name fool you, also is sherry seasoned oak casks. In this case, the 12 years old with the double cask is both American oak and European oak, but all of that has been sherry wine seasoned. So essentially the American oak is coming from Kentucky, Ohio, Pennsylvania at no less than 70 years old before it's timbered. The European oak coming from Spain region in general, Andalusia, of no less than 100 years old before it's timbered. That said, we're working with the FSC, Forest Stewardship Council, so all of that is sustainably grown. The forests are actually growing faster than we can harvest them, than we choose to harvest them. From there, you're looking at actual 2 years of this oak seasoning itself, not even seasoning, but drying in the sun, in the forest where it fell, and in the south of Spain, where that oak then ends up, where it will be coopered into to the barrels that they're going to be making, the casks. And from there, all of those casks, whether they're American oak or European oak, are seasoned using dry Valdespino Oloroso sherry for no less than 18 months. So in this case, the double cask range, as I said, American and European oak, beautifully balanced, whereas the sherry oak range, the 12 years old and upward, is European oak. It's not using that American oak anymore. So that's the difference between the two, the double cask range being American and European oak, the sherry oak range being European oak, but all of that seasoned for no less than 18 months using that dry Valdespino Oloroso sherry.
Jesus, that's a long process.
Yes, it's about 5 years, honestly,
yeah,
from forest to distillery.
And it's funny, when we were talking, like we met up at, there was an event honoring the time and space, which we'll get to in a second. And by the way, for people listening, like, what the hell do you mean by time and space? I mean, it sounds very, very mysterious. So one thing we chatted about is how I always treat good whiskey, good Scotch whiskey, is I can appreciate it even if it's not my favorite because of my own palate. And I always treat it like an incredible movie that I can only see once. Or like, this is such a well-made product. I've never been much of a spirits guy, but it's not because of the quality. It's something where it doesn't always, like I've always said, I'm a bad beer, good wine kind of guy. But what I appreciate about talking to you and going to the event, I mean, you know, when it's mixed, I'm like, oh, this is delicious. But even just on its own, I think what I appreciate more now, when I take a sip of it and I smell it, I'm getting 7, 8, 9 different things. You can taste, I can always taste the quality, even if it isn't my favorite. I know that might sound weird, but you study WSET as well. And part of the job is, take your personal feelings aside. Is this a well-made product? And when I was at the event, I mean, I was just blown away by everything I tried. And I think it's almost a testament to what the McCallum does, where even if it's not your number one thing in your palate, you're tasting it and you can just taste the quality.
Absolutely. And that's, so many people expect Scotch whiskey to be intense, maybe smoky, overwhelming. And when I say, well, the McCallum's a single malt Scotch, they go, that's not for me. And my usual reply is, if you don't like Scotch, it's because you haven't had the McCallum yet. Mm-hmm. It's approachable. It's fruity. It's got this wonderful dried fruit notes, vanillas, honeys, baking spices. It's gorgeous. You're not going to be overwhelmed by it. It's going to just sit on your palate beautifully. There's this viscosity to it that just, again, coats your palate. And it's like a warm hug for me, honestly. I love going back to it, whether it's the 12-year-old or anything else.
I guess one of the, and it's funny, because this happens in wine. Sometimes the enemy of good wine is bad wine. But for a lot of people, you start drinking the bad wine early on, and then, you know, you graduate, and what you were drinking at $10 Australian wine, now you're drinking a $40 bottle. I would imagine when it comes to the McCallum, one of the enemies could be bad Scotch whiskey, bad Irish whiskey, just bad any spirit, where it can turn off someone in their early 20s, where it is harsh, where you do get at the back of the throat, you get that burn, and then it kind of scares people off from the world that you're talking about.
Well, and that's definitely a part of it, is often when I approach someone, they'll have a glass of the McCallum at one of our events. Maybe I'll be working with LCBO staff somewhere, but they say, oh, Scotch isn't for me. And then I do see them try the McCallum. They go, oh, well, that's quite nice.
Yeah.
So I always really enjoy getting that reaction out of everyone, because that's it. We've all had those experiences in our early 20s where you're drinking what you can afford. Mm-hmm. And again, I've yet to have a single malt Scotch or Scotch in general that I didn't like. It's all very good. But again, restaurants have menus for a reason. Everyone likes something a little bit different. And when it comes to the McCallum, again, it's that quality. We're not sacrificing any step of the way. It's always a crowd pleaser for me.
When you do these events, do you sometimes die a little inside if you see someone who's taking one of these beautiful products and they're throwing in a lot of ginger ale? Now, I know it's about your soup. However someone enjoys it, that's their journey.
Correct.
So that's outwardly what you're doing. I bring this up because I remember once at a Christmas party, I brought like some old Montrachet, and a relative who didn't know much about wine, that's fine. They said, oh, could I have some ice in this? I said to them, like, yeah, not a problem. But I said, oh, here, let me pour you a glass and I'll go get you some ice.
Right.
I waited 7 or 8 minutes. I came back and they're like, you know what? I don't need ice. So what I wanted to do was yell at them to the top of the heavens, you don't drink Premier Cru Montrachet with ice. Now, you have to be more diplomatic. It is your job as an ambassador for everyone to have a good time, not to intimidate, not to demean. That is very important with anyone when they do a wine event, a Scotch event, spirits, beer, whatever it is. That's a long way of me saying there's sometimes you die a little inside when you see someone getting some Canada Dry in their McCallum.
I mean, you're not wrong. The best way to drink your whiskey is the way you like to drink your whiskey. At the events I run, I don't often see people mixing with ginger ale.
No.
With the McCallum, we will work with like some of the best mixologists out there to make world-class cocktails, because if you have good ingredients, you're going to make a good cocktail. And yes, I know some people out there are dying inside saying, oh, you're even making cocktails. But hey, if you've got a really nice car, you're not just going to go for a slow drive. You're going to play with the car, see what it can do.
Right.
And again, the McCallum has wonderful ingredients inside of it, wonderful flavors that can make amazing cocktails. I've never personally drank the McCallum with ginger ale or anything like that. I love drinking it neat. I've had it on ice here and there on warm days. Ice can dial down some of the flavor when you chill it. But at the same time, when you do add water to the McCallum, it also opens up the flavor some. Even a few drops of water can do that. So yes, it's a long way of saying not the way I would drink it necessarily. But again, everyone is welcome to drink their whiskey the way they would like to.
That's a very good answer, John. You're very good at your job.
Thank you.
What are some of the differences that will happen if you neat versus on the rocks versus like what we did when we were studying? You would just take the eye drop and put a couple drops of water. What are some of the differences you're going to get?
Yeah, so I mean, neat, it depends on which Macallan you're drinking. When you're drinking the Macallan Double Cask 12 years old, that's 40%. From there, if you're having the Macallan Double Cask 15, 18, 30, the Sherry Oak 12, 18, 25, 30, they're all 43% from that point on. So when you're drinking it neat, again, it's still very approachable. So I always take that first sip when I'm drinking it neat, and it's almost like getting into a cold pool. It is 40% alcohol by volume, so it kind of wakes up your palate a little bit. But that second sip is jumping back into that pool and going, this is warm. I can swim some laps with this one. And that's when I'll let it hit my cheeks, my tongue, my soft palate. I'll work it around. And that's when I'm getting those amazing notes of vanillas, honeys, gingers, fudge. Again, it depends on which one I'm drinking. But there's so many different flavors. From there, yeah, if you add ice, ice will do exactly kind of as I said before. It will chill it down and that will soften some of the flavors. So maybe if you're new to Scotch whiskey and even 40% is a little bit too much for you, it'll soften that. But as that ice melts and it dilutes the whiskey, there's a lot of oily character within the Macallan and a lot of Scotch in general. And it'll start interacting. It'll start softening. Maybe you'll get some notes that weren't there, some softer sweet notes. Again, it depends on which one you're having, but it'll change it. It'll open it up for you. Maybe there's some sweetness. I find if I add even a few drops of water to any of the Macallans, I start to get more citrus out of it.
Interesting.
Yes.
Okay, that's cool. So I've gone 17 minutes without talking about the reason for the event a while back in Yorkville was the release, the celebration of 200 years of the Macallan with time space mastery, which is not the... is not, you know, a Star Trek movie. Star Trek 4 and then colon and then space, time space mastery. What do people need to know about this remarkable bottle?
So the Macallan is celebrating its 200th anniversary this year. Originally founded in 1824 by a man of the name Alexander Reed. And 200 years later, here we are. So we said, well, how do we celebrate? How do we take this to the next level and do something different for the Macallan? And so the Time Space collection was released. Now, we've gotten one of the two pieces of the collection to Canada, Time Space Mastery. I'd be remiss if I didn't mention the next level up, the Macallan Time Space. There's only 200 bottles of that one available globally. If you're interested, I can help put you in touch at the Macallan Distillery. I don't know how much of it's left, but it's a supremely precious liquid. Ultimately, this is one of my favorite parts about talking about Scotch. I literally just got chills thinking about it. Is, again, when I talked with the 12 years old, you're going, well, back in time almost to taste what was laid down 12 years ago. With the Macallan Time Space, we've done something unique and different. There's actually two decanters in Time Space. On the exterior is an 84-year-old single malt Scotch whiskey distilled in 1940 that... again, there's so little of it. It's the oldest vintage available from the Macallan, as far as I know of. But a unique thing that we did is we actually opened the new distillery back in 2018. And inside that exterior round decanter, there's a second small decanter with five-year-old Scotch from 2018 when we first opened that new distillery. So Time Space is a beautiful whiskey. If you're interested, anyone, reach out. I would be happy to put you in touch with the distillery to see if we can get you a bottle.
How many bottles are there of it again?
Only 200 bottles of it for the 200th anniversary globally.
Yeah, that's like less than what the DRC DRC puts out for their wine. The cool thing about that is, and you know, anyone who's into wine or spirits, we do love the history of it. It's like I want to try a Bordeaux from 1945 because I want something that was grown during the end of the Second World War. And the crazy thing about the time space is 1940, you're a year into the Second World War. That's, you know, that's older than like the movie Casablanca.
Exactly.
So now I'm nervous now because you guys sent me a sample of the Time Space Mastery. So I'm going to put the mics down for a second. We'll pour it, then we'll pick it back up. We'll pick up this conversation back up again.
Sure.
We are back. So I've poured the Time Space Mastery. The first thing on the nose is, and a lot of this is born out of my old prejudices from when I was 20, is I'm first expecting a massive punch to my nostrils, and I am not getting that whatsoever. Like, I'm still sniffing it the way we're taught to, so I'm not. Actually, could you explain to people the sometimes the proper way to smell spirit without burning your nostrils?
Yes. I mean, so the Macallan Time Space Mastery is 43.6%. So it's right there in that comfortable range that the Macallan is often in. But for myself, again, this isn't wine. A wine, you can really lean into it and pull it all in.
You're like Paul Giamatti, you know, and just like smell like crazy.
Exactly. With single malt scotch, with the Macallan, with Time Space Mastery, again, take your time with it. I do the same technique that you do, nose in, mouth open. That way we're engaging all the olfactory senses.
Yeah, so it's not an aggressive... it's on an aggressive sniff of the nostrils.
Correct.
Throw the nose in and breathe in and out of the mouth.
Correct.
And you're going to get like a really good idea of what you're smelling there.
Exactly. Yeah. So with this, again, I love nosing just. The aroma is one of my favorite parts about any Scotch whisky, but especially with this one. So the Macallan Time Space Mastery, this one is a non-age statement, different from the time space that we spoke of earlier. This one we've actually seeked out 14 different cask varieties from the Macallan estate that really summarize 200 years of the Macallan. Being that it's a non-age statement, essentially we're free from the bounds of age, that we can choose any cask. As at different ages throughout a Scotch's life, you get different aromas developing. Younger whiskies have different notes than older whiskies. When it comes to the Time Space Mastery, again, that nose, that classic Macallan, that dried fruit is there.
Yep.
But you start to get tropical fruits coming out on this one. This one is really unique. I get a little bit of fig on the nose. Again, those notes that the Macallan is so well known for, the dried fruits, the honeys, those are very much there, but those tropical notes are also providing that really lovely just depth and complexity that I could just keep coming back to again and again and again.
Also, I'd go with sort of like a burnt orange peel, which might sound weird, but like that's not a fault. That is a compliment. Like the very, it's almost a mix between, am I thinking burnt or am I thinking candied orange skin? Like that's kind of what I'm getting along this.
I reference the two regularly. I'll say burnt orange regularly. I'll say like a candied brown sugar orange sometimes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Absolutely love that. And that's one of the hallmarks of using European oak in Scotch whiskey. The Macallan European oak sherry seasoned. You get that citrusy, oily orange character regularly, and that's just absolutely there.
Actually, do you ever do like blinds with either just different Scotch whiskies, depending, or you know, like single malt versus others, or do you, and not like some sort of peaty Irish whiskey, that'd be too easy. But like, I don't know how much you ever do like blind tastings of different spirits from all over the world.
I don't do it as much now. That said, a friend of mine, again, Perry, who I mentioned earlier, we do love to sit and just nose whiskies.
Yeah.
That said, I was working one time throughout COVID. I was doing a virtual tasting with a group out in Atlantic Canada, and they said, let's do a blind event one day. So I said, okay, let's do it. So everyone sent in a dram of their favorite whiskeys from at home and then didn't put a label on it. And each of the 12 of us presented our whiskeys. It was a long night, but it was right on the spot of, well, what do you think you're having? What are you tasting? And everyone got to guess their distillery. And it was really actually fun and a great way of testing myself. So long answer, or long story short, yes, I do like to do that, but not as often as I would recently, but still fun.
I'm not getting the burn. What's the ABV on, 43% for this one for the alcohol?
Yeah, 43.6.
Yeah, I'm not getting the burn. I'm getting, it is the warming sensation on the back of the neck, and that I find, that I really appreciate. And the thing is, I'll always tell someone if I don't like anything. Like, I remember I had Dan Speck on from Henry Appellum.
Oh, yes.
And we went through his whole batch of Bacco Noirs. Mm-hmm. And these are, and I said the same thing to him, like, this is, I would compare it to like the movie Joker. It's like a really impressive movie. I'd never want to watch it again. And that was my thing about his highest end Bacco Noir. I'm like, this is a really great wine for a lot of people, mm-hmm. but not for me. This is something I could absolutely sip on. But I mean, Christ, this is one of the best ones you have. That's sort of a Captain Obvious. But I appreciate that there is no burn there. I don't feel like I'm working for this. I think that's part of it. In your early 20s, maybe later 20s, early 30s, you're at a party, people are pouring you some fancy spirit, so you want to fit in. And I remember I would drink it. I'm like, oh, I felt like I was working and I was almost being punished. I'm like, I'll just take a Coors Light.
Yeah.
I'm perfectly happy with a Coors Light over an overly oaky California Chard. But with this, I do not get that sensation.
Well, and that's really a testament. We've got six pillars that the Macallan really is the foundation of everything that we do. And this is really a testament to our sixth pillar, which is our whiskey mastery. It's our whiskey mastery team led by Kirstian Campbell. But the lead whiskey maker in this case for the Macallan Time Space Mastery is Ewan Kennedy. And it's those 14 cask varieties that they have scoured the warehouses at the Macallan for. And we have 50 warehouses at the distillery. So it's not like it's a quick jaunt through a couple of warehouses. We're looking for the 14 cask varieties that ultimately provide the most beautiful flavors, aromas, colors as well, as the Macallan is naturally colored. And to pull that all together to create a complex, beautiful whiskey that summarizes 200 years, but also just has that, again, that approachability, that beauty, that flavor that you can just come back to whether or not you're an experienced Scotch whiskey drinker is so important.
Before we get to food pairings, how annoying was doing events online? Like, just, I mean, as someone for you, as an ambassador, and, you know, you were great speaking with everyone there.
Thank you.
And just being around humans. And like, I had to host a couple wine events on Zoom, and I was happy that at least people got to do something like that again, but man, they stunk.
I was admittedly relatively new into the industry doing whiskey tastings at that point.
Right, because COVID 2020.
That's right. I started as my first ambassador role in 2019. So I was 11 months into it when the world got shut down, and ugh, I was just finding my stride. And so here I am talking with other ambassadors like, what are we going to do? And we all started doing these virtual tastings. And I felt I had a few moments of reality checks here and there, because my wife at the time, she was working in the ICU as a nurse. So I'm at home in front of my camera in my basement, leading these whiskey tastings with corporate groups and other whiskey clubs. And she's coming home from the ICU, and I'm going, oh, sweetheart, what is happening here? We lead such different lives. So it was fun, but it was also, you know, like recognizing I'm doing okay over here. I'm sitting enjoying these whiskey tastings in the basement.
I'm going to make a guess. When you had a bad day at your job, you wouldn't tell your wife, I had a bad day at my job.
I still don't. My wife, Emily, love her to pieces. She's now a pediatric nurse. But that's it. I can't complain about my worst day at work, because my worst day at work,
yeah,
probably not even as good as her best day, or not comparable to her best day at work. Yeah. So it's she does amazing things. She saves lives. I sell whiskey. I talk about whiskey. So I can't complain. So that said, I did kind of enjoy them. But after I spent much of the time during the pandemic in my storage locker making these whiskey kits and then helping get them in the hands of people. So it was an interesting time.
Let's go down the road. Yeah. And by the way, I'm the same way. My main job is talking on the radio. Like,
yeah.
Trust me. I'm like, I am, in terms of importance, I know where I fit on the food chain. And I'm perfectly comfortable with that, because almost every day is an absolute joy. I wasn't going to talk about this, but just hosting events. Do you ever notice, like, I always find interesting, when I host a wine event, the first 45 minutes, I got a lot more eye contact. As the night goes on, eye contact gets less, other conversations get louder. My technique is I will grab the mic and wander through the crowd, find who the loudest people are, and stand near them to continue and not be aggressive towards them. Like, I'm going to continue my presentation next to you four people that are having a lot of fun. I'm wondering, how is it for you when you do presentations, the first 20 minutes versus the last 20?
It's exactly that. And ultimately you realize, I mean, you're playing to your audience. Some of them, they're way into it the whole time. They're quiet. They're listening. They want to know the temperature of the water as it hits the barley for the first time, and they're waiting for that. But yeah, then there's other occasions where everyone's out there to have fun and gets a little rowdy. Uh-huh. And I've done exactly that. I'm also a wanderer. I love to walk while I'm speaking. I remember the first time I ever went to one of the big spirit festivals out in New Brunswick. I wasn't sure what I would have, but I had one of the later crowds. So everyone had been through some master classes. And there was one really rowdy group in the very front table, but you could tell everyone else wanted to kind of ignore them. So I started wandering through the crowd, and eventually I actually stood in front of them with my back to the four that were just being loud and talked to the group. And they went, oh, yeah, we're being too loud. Okay. And I went, appreciate it, fellas.
Yeah.
Here we go.
To that point, I don't mind if people are there to just get a little drunk and,
sure,
and to be loud and rowdy. My only issue is, when other people are trying to pay attention, that's the only thing. I don't take myself seriously enough going, what do you mean you're not listening to every word I'm talking about the difference in acidity between Viognier and Chablis? But it's when it distracts the other people that are there to learn a thing or two. That's when you got to take control. That's a good technique you do, by the way.
Thank you. I find it works. Yeah, I mean, most of the time people want to be there. They want to learn. I'm not giving a 4-hour lecture. I'm going to read to the crowd. And if they want to know a lot, we'll get into that. But if they want to just come, have a good time, drink some great scotch, eat some great food, I'll let them. And I'll go talk one-on-one with the people that really want to know more.
And that's the key. Yeah, I remember doing a stagette. I was going to get into more and more why Cremant is a great value for people that are tired of cava but can't afford champagne. And then about, I'm like, ah, screw it. I'm just going to pour for everyone. If anyone has any questions, I am here for you. I will give you all the information you want. Otherwise, you're here to have fun.
That's half the fun of the industry.
Yeah, absolutely. So now, what about pairing? What are thoughts? Because it's funny, I just started watching Mad Men.
Right.
I'm always 10 years behind the hot show. I'm on season 3 of Mad Men now.
All right.
And I watch them, and I don't know what they're drinking, but I can tell it's hard liquor, and they're having it with dinner. And I'm like, hard liquor with dinner? What are you doing? You can't do that. We need to get some high acidic red wines for the table. But what are the general rules, do's and don'ts, when it comes to pairing of the Macallan with any sort of food?
And that's it, is many people don't expect to drink spirits, especially Scotch whiskey, with food. They'll say, okay, we'll do our whiskey tasting, we'll drink 4, however many we're having before dinner, and then we'll have dinner. But with the Macallan, we're really key on, this is a beautiful single malt Scotch. It's loaded with flavor. Let's work with some of the best chefs in the world. We're working with Michelin star chefs and some of the best hotels, restaurants in the world, because there's some great flavor in there. And we want to make sure that, you're getting great food pairings alongside it as well. So for us, it depends on what you're having. Again, American oak and European oak, they do offer different flavors. And that's where most of our whiskey comes from. So you can actually get different pairings with the double cask range versus the sherry oak range. The double cask range, again, risottos, fish. Again, you don't want to go with anything too smoky or too salty when it comes to any of the foods you're pairing with, as the Macallan's really clean. It's really got great character, so you want to pair with other beautiful items. But when it comes to the sherry oak range, richness, red meats with sauces, sushi, and actually one thing that we're working on in a big way these days is the Macallan and caviar. Not everyone expects it, but again, play with your whiskey. Caviar offers great flavor, that richness, but again, for me, I also love like a great red meat. We're working with one restaurant in Yorkville, Enigma, and they have a Macallan Lounge experience, and there's a Highland Beef Wellington that goes along with your dram, and wow.
Yeah, I would imagine. Actually, the whiskey one, that makes, and maybe it's just because I came back from Japan just a little while ago and trying some of the different Suntories with sushi. That's a pairing that certainly goes well together.
Yes, absolutely.
How busy is it for you? Like, we're recording this on December 10th. I'm going to try to get this out before Christmas. How busy is the time of year for you right now?
October, November, December, generally madness.
Yeah.
We had the launch of Time Space Mastery in Toronto, in Yorkville with Harry Rosen. Mm-hmm. And we had the pop-up there for 3 weeks. So I was in and out of there doing whiskey dinners, still doing educations. Part of my job is educating restaurants and the bar staff how to sell. Part of it's selling, and part of it is working with consumers at these events. So there's the Harry Rosen pop-up. We just got back from Montreal. Last week we were there Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, launching the new Macallan Harmony Series number 4 in collaboration with Cirque du Soleil. So that was launched last week, so I was there. Came back. I'm here today. I've got a dinner tomorrow night in Kleinberg, another one down in the city on Thursday, and then I'm actually back to Quebec City and Montreal next week to continue the Harmony launch.
Damn.
So lots going on this time of year.
January a little bit lighter.
January, I'm using up some vacation over the holiday season, and we start planning and regrouping in January for next steps.
I'd be curious about who are the people that are going to get those 200 bottles of Time Space. Like, I'd be fascinated by that.
I wish I knew, because then I'd show up and try to have a dram with them.
John, this has been great, and I'm still sipping here. And what I appreciate, like one of my last podcasts is with someone who's an olive oil expert and someone who makes olive oil and has a company in Florence, and I got to you wine taste olive oil, and I got to learn a lot. And
that's cool.
And it's the same thing with this. When the people that work with the Macallan, they reached out to me, I'm like, well, I don't really drink a lot of spirits, but I want to learn more because I think it's just important just to expand, always to expand your palate. And I really appreciate it. Like, just more than anything else, just impressed with the product, impressed with all the time that goes into making your entire range here.
Well, thank you. I mean, that's it, I'm blessed. I get to talk about such a beautiful brand. I mean, and one of actually, as you finish your glass, one of the things to note is that the Macallan is a very, very oily scotch. We have some of the smallest production stills in Scotland. And so once your glass is empty, that oily character is still holding onto the glass. And some of those notes that maybe if you're new to scotch and you can't pick up on what I'm saying, the tropical notes, papaya, pineapple, the honeys, the baking spices, once that glass is empty and that alcohol vapor is gone, you can really just lean into it and wow, yeah. It comes to life. You'll see me after an event nosing an empty glass for 40 minutes because I just love it so much.
And someone thinks you're drunk. Like, hey, John, why are you smelling it? The glass is empty. Yeah, and also getting a little bit of vanilla as well.
Yes.
If people want to define the product, I don't know like how much representation of it, the LCBO, if it's how much of it's just through the website or direct, like if people want to buy these wines, find these wines, what's the best place to go?
Yeah, so in Ontario, the Macallan is at the LCBO broadly, the Double Cask range, the Sherry Oak range. Time Space Mastery is still available, but we're getting down to the very last few.
Yeah.
We only received a little over 150 into Ontario. I think we're under a dozen at this point. I believe the Bay and Bloor store has the most of it left up in the Manulife Center in Toronto.
Yep.
It will be releasing across the rest of the country over the next few months. Quebec will be getting there soon. BC, I believe, just received theirs. Alberta shortly. So if you're looking for it across the country, it is available, but it's supremely limited. Again, it's being made just for the 200th anniversary. When it's gone forever. But it is available for $2,800 on LCBO shelves mm-hmm. right now.
Awesome. John, really appreciate it. I appreciate the time. Also, you came down from Innisfil. I'm so glad you took public transportation. Take the go.
Yes.
I'd feel too guilty if you tried to drive to the distillery district during the Christmas market. So I appreciate the time.
Well, thank you.
And I appreciate the time and I appreciate the education. Thanks for coming and joining.
Thank you. Appreciate the time.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on iTunes, Apple, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.